Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. Calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as we do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I have my friend, the story lady herself, Rhonda Del Baccio from ProfitableStorytelling.com, with me today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello, and I'm calling in from Denver, Colorado, where it was 80 degrees yesterday, and later tonight we're expecting snow.
I hear you're expecting massive amounts of snow.
Yeah, 6 to 12 inches. Yeah, yeah.
Holy
not excited.
Cow.
Not excited.
Wow. Well, you be careful.
I shall. I'll be leaving for home Thursday, so I just keep visioning, and everything is perfectly terrific for safe travels.
Well, I have got to apologize to our listeners for being late. My phone did not buzz me today, and I'm not sure why it didn't. How weird is that?
Very.
Anyway, we have got a great show planned for today, part two of our series on blog content curation. And I have been really looking forward to today's show, as I know you have as well, Rhonda.
Yes, I have. So would it be okay if I just kind of recap last week in like two sentences, just so that our listeners can be caught up to speed a little bit?
That would be awesome.
Okay, so let me do that, and then we'll bring on our guest. So the what we were doing last week on the part one is giving you an introduction to what curation is, and it really is collecting things in a way that you will add some of your own content, add value, and really streamline the experience for your audience and help them come to a better understanding. So rather than have to run here, there, and everywhere, they can come to your blog, and you will, by the way that you curate the content, you are going to be of great value to them. So that's kind of the introduction. We talked about some manual ways to do it, commenting on some tweets or videos or whatever, and then some automated ways to do this, which would be through using RSS feeds and some other things. And then this week is where we're really going to dive in deeply. So if folks have not heard part one, that was on October the, what was last Tuesday, 18th, 2011. You'll be able to hear part one. And today is part two, and we have one of Gina's advanced students with us today, who I know has been doing some terrific deep testing along with you, Gina, into some very specific methods to get the best leverage out of this whole content curation so that you don't have to spend as much time finoodling around in your blog, and you can be off being the expert that you are.
Well, thanks for that, Rhonda. And I know we have Don Osborne on the line with us today, who has actually been doing some of this content curation stuff.
It's true, I have.
Have you
Good
been
morning.
Enjoying your experience with that, Don?
I have a lot. It's amazing. It really, really is. I love it because, and this is worth writing down, content curation is the easiest way because content curation is just answering questions. That's all it is. So if you've ever answered a question, you're an expert in curation. And I love
that.
Yeah,
that's really true.
I love that aspect.
Yep.
Everybody knows that the internet is like one big question mark. Everybody brings their questions to the internet. So to be able to just sit back and relax in your chair and lean back in your, you know, T-shirt and your jammies and your your slippers like I'm doing right now and just be able to answer questions, that's pretty heavenly for me.
It really is, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep.
And there are some other benefits to it as well. There are so many different ways that you can really curate content. But in the way that you're curating content, the biggest benefit, in my opinion, is that you are truly giving your prospects exactly, precisely what they want. Because that's how you're curating content. You're doing
it
intentionally.
Right. Yes, that's precisely right. What I'm doing is I'm allowing my prospects to ask their questions wherever they most likely will ask them, and then I can find those questions, usually automatically, pull those questions into my blog, and then simply answer them at my leisure.
Even better, right?
Yeah.
Because what that should mean is that your conversions are even higher than if you had written the content yourself from scratch. And that is really good.
I think so, because I'm answering a question that I know absolutely unequivocally is being asked, which means that there's traffic to it.
So here's a question I know that our listeners have right now at this exact moment. Where in the heck are you finding these questions? I mean, other than just kind of scouring the net manually, I know that people are going to want to know, where is it that you're finding these questions? So why don't you do that and help our listeners understand?
You bet. So in every niche, including mine, there's usually a forum or several forums where a lot of your prospects congregate. And in probably nearly every case that I've looked at in my niche, which is college admissions, I've been able to find that on those forums there is an RSS feed available. So I can pull that RSS feed directly into my website, to my WordPress blog. And then from there, it becomes super convenient and super easy because I'm on my familiar platform. The content's already coming into me. I can just pick and choose which questions to respond to. I can respond to them on my website. Super simple.
Excellent. So forums is one place. And so in other words, what you're saying is that our listeners would each look for the forum or fora that are in your particular niche and pull the RSS feed where the types of questions are that your people would want answered. And then that's what you're going to pull in. So that's the first part of it. And so their next question is going to be, gee, Don, that's great. I love the ease of pulling in an RSS feed because that's hands-off. Well, so how does this become curation?
Well, because the questions beg answers. And, the way the forums are set up, you know, a prospect will write a question, plug it into the forum, that question comes to me, and then I respond to it. It turns out that, you know, I'm getting, 8, 9, 10 possible posts a day coming into my site that way. They're all in draft mode, so I get to pick and choose which ones I want to actually curate. And so I can pick one or more of them and then combine them up into a nice sort of summary article. And then I can speak my answer, I can write my answer back into my website, deliver that content back to those questions, and away I go. It's a very, very convenient way for me. And it also serves the relationship between me and the prospects extremely well.
Awesome. So that's
and what are
easy.
You, sorry, Rhonda, what are you using to pull these RSS feeds into your blog's dashboard?
I tried a lot of different tools, Gina, and I decided to go with Autoblogged, and I can give you a link for that if you like.
That would be great.
And
sure,
that link is gogetthisnow.com/curation. That's www.gogetthisnow.com/curation. And that's my affiliate link to the Autoblogged software. And when you get to the Autoblogged website, you'll see that you can buy single license or multi-license. I got the single license and just trusted that I could, if I wanted to, upgrade to multi-site license later on. And that's been a good decision for me. And, it's, you know, the product is affordable and super convenient. And I like it much better than, you know, all the other competitors.
Well, it has some functionality that makes it so much easier when you're curating content. Like, you can format the way it looks, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are other free tools out there, and this one, a single site license is $60, basically. However, for the $60, what I really paid for is this templating capability. So I can literally craft a template that can surround the actual individual feed coming in, the individual element within the feed. And I can format that feed, as you say, and do a lot of customization before it ever hits my site. Makes things so much easier for me. And also really helps deliver great quality to my customers. I can curate content in a matter of, you know, 20 minutes in a day because of that mechanism.
And the big thing for our listeners to remember is that you're not taking somebody else's content, pulling it into your blog, and trying to make it look like their content is your own unique content. There's no need to do that. You actually want to make it stand out a little bit. You want to make it look like you're really curating this content, not just copying somebody else's stuff and putting your name on it. Right, Don?
I agree, and I like the what that implies, right, is because, you know, between somebody who needs help and the helper, the expert is the person who answers the question, not the person who asks the question.
You got it.
So, you know, I am setting myself up as an implied authority in my niche simply because I have answers to the question. And that's going to be true for me because of my background, but it's also true for anybody who has any enthusiasm, you know, for any niche. You know, if, let's say you like motocross and you've been riding motocross for 10 years. Well, you have implied authority from your experience. Just by being enthusiastic in your answers, you're going to get tons of credibility from your prospects and your customers.
Absolutely. Yeah, big thing to remember. And, Rhonda, I didn't mean to step on you a few minutes ago, so why don't you go ahead? Are you there, Rhonda?
Oh, shoot. Yes, I'm here. I muted myself for a second because we had a big truck going by and I didn't want that to be heard. So, yeah, I think that's great. So you're really talking about, Don, using this templating ability of your autoblog, which that is much better. There are, I like Feed WordPress as far as pulling in the feeds and saying what category it goes to and so forth, but that does not have the ability to put in a placeholder for some commentary at the beginning, to pull in a chunk of a feed, make sure the link is there, you know, and whatever, and then put a place for your call to action at the end of it. So that's just one difference I wanted to point out to people who may have been looking at ways to pull in feeds. And just to remind folks that the big difference here is not just pulling in the feed, and it's not even just pulling in the feed and making sure it does look like it comes from where it comes from as opposed to you, but you're really adding some value. You're adding the answer, as Don said, which is, of course, what makes you the absolute authority. You're the one that's answering the question.
And what I like, Rhonda, about this templating capability is that, you know, you can pull in multiple feeds from the Autoblog software. Each individual feed can have its own unique template, which is really
right.
Cool. Because now, as you say, I can make, you know, I can get pretty involved in my creativity in terms of look and feel of the blog post on the site. And I can do that on a feed-by-feed basis. I don't have to just do one for everybody. But also, the template has this way of you can set up your introduction and you can set up, say, your call to action, and you can have different introductions and different calls to action. And the software will automatically pick a different one each time and plug that into your draft of your blog post so that when it's time for you to actually do the curation, you don't have to do any of that administrative work.
Right.
You can simply get right into adding value, focusing on the concern, really delving into maybe the psychology or the emotionality of the worry, really help your reader, and then you can get on with your day. I love that. And as Gina has pointed out in the past, that leaves less of a trail. It looks more organic. It looks more natural. And that's what I really like about this.
Right. So being able to say this, it could be the same call to action, but maybe stated five different ways, one so that things will cycle through, so it doesn't look as if you're just being a canned person.
Exactly. Exactly right. It looks less automated.
Right. Which is great. So you're using forums. Are you using any other feed to pull in it, any other type of feed that you're pulling in, Don, or are you finding just the forums to be the best?
Only looking at the forums, and I just looked at this morning, and I've been doing this now for about 3 weeks. I have 1,182 posts from which I can draw.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anybody here who's listening who's like, you know, I wish I had more content on my website. I now have more content than I could possibly ever need, you know, for anything. So that gives me a lot of freedom. Rather than having to go slogging out to the whole web to find something to write about it, I can just go right to my dashboard on my WordPress blog, go through and just pick and choose a couple topics to write about, plug those in, turn them on, send them out, publish them, and I'm done. It's so easy, so convenient.
So I would imagine
you don't have 1,100, you know, posts in a month, right? Let's say you don't, you have fewer than that. Yahoo Answers
right.
has a feed.
Mm-hmm. One other thing to think about.
That's awesome.
One other thing to think about is just like with everything else in your business, you don't want to look at just this piece in a vacuum, but look
right.
at how this piece could fit into other things that you're doing. For example, how could you use joint ventures along with blog creation or blog curation or content curation? For
mm-hmm.
example, if the owner of the forum knew that you were answering questions for people in his forum, would you not be able to get him to help send traffic to those answers on your website?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, it would be amazing, especially for sites where the owner is on overwhelm because he's not able to manage
yeah.
the questions himself, you know. And you
right.
we've all seen that, especially in customer service forums where there
yeah.
are too many questions and not enough help. So,
right.
you know, you can, you know, talk to the owner of the site and say, look, I know you're on overwhelm. You're not able to get to most of these questions. I'm answering a lot of these questions over here. You know, if you want to send people there as an alternative, I would love it. I'd be happy to help you.
Could be a great extra stream of traffic for you.
Yes, it could. Another thing is you could end up co-creating a product with that forum owner or that wherever it is the feed is coming from as well, if that it made sense for your audience. And so they would then also be vested in sending traffic and they would benefit from it. So just something to keep in mind to keep yourself open to interesting possibilities like that.
So, Rhonda, you talk about a product creation in this environment. Have you ever looked at a plugin called Anthology?
No, I have not heard of that one.
So Anthology is a fairly new plugin. I think it's coming out of MIT. But Anthology is awesome because it allows you to pull out elements of your site, blog posts and so forth, and creates a book and allows you to publish that book. It's a very, very nice workflow.
I love that.
It's amazing.
Wow.
So, you know, how cool is it to be able to bring in a lot of questions, organize those questions around themes, answer those questions, and then through another plug-in automatically generate, like, you know, the top 50 Q&A for pre-meds or the top 50 Q&A for high school students going to college. And you can do that, you know, fairly automatically with tools like Autoblogged and Anthology.
I love that. Yeah, that's really great. And that can then be turned into something that you put onto Kindle. It could even be published as a print book later on or, you know, pulled together as a PDF type of ebook. And there are lots of cool things to be done with that. So I love that.
Exactly.
Anthology, is that I'm imagining it might be a paid plugin, but I don't know. Is that?
I think it's free because it was made by, I think, MIT. And let me see what I can do about finding that information before the show is over.
Well, that will be great. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have internet access here, or else I'd be happy to do that while we're talking. But just kind of look for that Anthology WordPress plugin. That is really terrific, because there's nothing that makes you an expert like having a book. And so if you're taking someone else's questions, you're answering them. Writing a Q&A book is one of the six very easy ways that I tell people to write and publish a book in my Easy Write and Publish system. And that's on profitablestorytelling.com/easywrite. Easy Write, all lowercase. So this Anthology plugin, along with the Autoblog to do your curation and then publishing, that makes it super-duper easy. You then know the questions people are asking rather than the ones you think they're asking, and there can often be a big difference.
And I found that. I was actually misquoting that the correct title of the plugin is Anthologize.
Anthologize.
Yeah, Anthologize, and that's at anthologize.org.
Okay.
And I said it was from MIT. I was wrong. It's actually from the Center for History and New Media at George Mason.
Wow.
And it's a it's an alpha plugin. It's still in development.
Oh, boy. Guess who's going to try for a joint venture with those guys?
Yeah, exactly. And probably it's begging for a fork, because this was Anthologize came out of a one-week project.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what kind of follow-up there is being done on it.
Right. Well, that's probably about to change.
Yeah.
Wait till the story
lady
gets.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Yeah, we're
going to have an adventure out of that. Oh, yeah.
Right, between Anthologize and another plugin that I really like that helps me with curation, plugin called Edit Flow. Have you seen this yet, you guys?
Edit Flow. No, not.
Oh, my God, you have to take a look at Ediflow. Ediflow does exactly what it says. It helps you with your editorial flow. So imagine content coming in every day, and you're able to wake up in the morning with your cup of coffee and a juice and whatnot and your slippers, and you go into your dashboard, and on the dashboard you find a calendar. And on the calendar, it shows you what new content came in today for you to curate. And you can just pick and choose what you like, and away you go.
Love it. There's
it's
also
super,
something
super crazy awesome, because you can,
awesome.
Just with a quick like a quick edit click, you can change the date for publication of any one of these posts. So you can lay out your entire editorial calendar for yourself right inside WordPress.
Love it.
Yep.
And Gina, as you know, with paid plugins like WP Drip, on membership sites like Wishlist, a calendaring tool like Editflow really makes a sequential content and drip content a breeze. It's a super workflow.
Well, it is. I do have a super-duper really easy tip that also will help with getting the flow of your dripped content the way that you want it. In any post you're going to have, and this is just an alternative, but any post you're going to have in using WP Drip, and what for people who don't know, because we start talking plugins and we get all excited here, and I'm realizing, hey, wait, I got to back up for our listeners. WP Drip, what that allows you to do is to drip out the content at whatever rate you want. Could be every day, could be the first post today and every week or whatever. You can do it any way that you want. But the thing is, if Gina and Don and I each joined the site on one in the spring, one in the summer, and one in the fall, it would look as though the day one's content was today, whatever today is, and that day two's content would be tomorrow and next week, so forth. So it doesn't look old. Otherwise, you can go in, you might have built a site 2 years ago with great stuff, but somebody gets in their membership and they go, crap, I'm paying $97 a month and this is like two-year-old content? You got to be kidding me. It doesn't matter how great it is, they'll feel like it's old. And with Drip, they don't. Now, if you then take day one and post it as January 1st, 2011, and if you want something a week later, that's January 8th, this way it helps you to keep the flow straight and know where you are in the year without having to do mathematical acrobatics.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
What drip really essentially is doing is it's giving you a way to drip content out over a period of time based on where the person is at. So you can have different people sign up on different days at different times, and yet each one gets to the appropriate content in the appropriate place at the appropriate time.
Yep.
Which is kind of nifty.
So
yeah,
sorry, I derailed us into plug-in land. I apologize.
Yes, I didn't mean for us to go there. So let's go back to the concept of
That's
curating
curious.
Content.
So what else would you guys like to know about curation?
Well, the big issue for most folks is understanding how this relates to the money piece, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
for you, how does this relate to the money piece?
Okay, very good. So let's start with a college, a high school student who's interested in going to college. He and or his mom or dad are surfing the internet. They're looking for help. So they are doing some searches online. They find a search result that takes them to my website. They are now on a particular piece of content on my website. That particular piece of content happens to have been curated by me. And then at the end of the post, there is a call to action of some kind, usually some kind of an offer either for, in my case, I like to send them to a free membership area so they can get instant access for free, because I have found that offering access is more valuable than offering a PDF or other form of instant result. So now they're in my free member area, and now they are also in my autoresponder sequence, and they're in the membership area, and now the money piece begins for me. So because you are a member of my special club, and you have access to this, I'm going to make available to you stuff I don't make available to the general public, including product one, product two, product three, and off you go. Simultaneously, in my email sequence, after I welcome you and I give you some very, very good content through email, I also make available to you one of several of my low-end products, and those low-end products are anywhere from $7 up to $97, depending on where you are in the sequence. And I give those products to you at a deep discount compared to what you're going to get them if you buy them on the front door of my website. But it's only available to members. And so now I have monetized the curation piece.
Nice.
Absolutely, so great.
Let me say the same thing, exactly the same way, but in an analogy. You all have been to a big grocery store, and when was the last free sample that you got? For me, the last free sample that I got was a free sample of some ravioli here at one of the supermarkets in my neighborhood. And so the free sample inspired me, and they gave me a coupon in that case, to buy some ravioli. So it's that same exact process we're all very accustomed to. It's some kind of free sample that then takes them into an opportunity to purchase what would normally be a higher price point and offer it at a discount.
That's great. So it's you're offering basically a coupon or whatever that is a members-only offer. The only way they could pay full price if they just go and they happen to run across it on your blog, in other words, you're saying they could end up paying full price. However, if they become a member first, then they end up getting whatever percentage discount it is that you're offering, and that's only available through members. And I find that's really effective because, it gets them into the membership. They're receiving an autoresponder sequence when you set it up right, plus they're getting their free stuff, plus they're getting a special reason to pay attention to the site. And do you do your coupons where they expire after a certain time, or are you just letting them be, forever?
My coupons expire. So in the autoresponder sequence, I only offer the discount for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then I close the discount off, and the product goes back to regular price.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So I want people to remember the money piece. Always remember the money piece. This is why you're blogging. And it can
mm-hmm.
be very easy to just get into a content warehouse manufacturing of type of a content and showcasing
mm-hmm.
your expertise. And for many people, at least that I've observed in Gina's world and some in mine, sometimes they're getting too caught up in sharing the expertise and forgetting to put a solid call to action. And also this whole piece of using a membership is a great piece because people want to be a member. It's a natural human desire to be a member, to have access to something that non-members do not. And to be able to play with that in your autoresponder messages and in the messages that are members only that would be on the blog, to be able to play with that is really tremendous. Wow, because you're a member, you stepped up and you have this exclusive access that other people don't. And if you want to tell your friends how to get it, you have to send them over here, and then they can help to build your list for you.
So now let's pretend that I think that typing out my answers to a question is kind of a pain in the neck. And I would really rather not type out answers. I'm happy to sit in my chair, drink coffee, and give you an answer. I mean, if you called me up and said, you know, here's my question, what's the answer? I don't have a problem telling you the answer, but I don't want to type it out. I think that's just painful. So what I am now envisioning, this is like step five or something in this nine steps, you know, plan that I have, is to begin to record my answers in order so that they can be transcribed. And that way I'm no longer having to, you know, sit in front of a keyboard and sort of slave away, pecking away at, you know, little square tiles. I can kind of be freer in my life, and I can, you know, I can speak, I can talk
right.
my writing out, give my curation,
yep.
and then have it transcribed, and then have a support person, a virtual assistant, copy and paste the answer chunks back into the site for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, plug all that together, and away we go. This gives me two benefits. The first benefit is I'm not chained to my desk. That's good. And it gives me another benefit, which is I now have not just a text-based piece of content, I also have an audio piece of content. So I can take the audio piece and I can plug the audio piece into my site, and that becomes a little bit of a different way for people to listen to my answers and get to know me and my voice and, you know, my perspective a little differently than if they were just reading my words.
Right.
So that's a nice little layering. You know, it's not that big a video because I'm doing the same thing that I would normally be doing. I'm just talking it instead of writing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you guys, but I find talking my answers easier than writing my answers. What do you think?
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
So much faster.
Yeah. It is a lot faster. I have been known to start a screen capture video where I might show the question or whatever it is that I'm curating and give
mm-hmm.
the answer. And while I'm doing this, I've also called into Copy Talk so that it's
yep.
transcribing it for me automatically and then be able to have somebody put that transcription in there. It makes you keep your answers succinct, and you can go on if you need to in Copy Talk. You can, you know, be able to do that. But that can be very useful. It's kind of a twofer. That way.
You know, and I love that, right? Because this is, in my world, it's like writing one paper for college and turning it into two different classes and getting A's on both.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If the professors both agree that that's okay to do, then that's no problem. That's a legitimate way to leverage your time and leverage the work that you're doing. I think that's, you know, a nice added little piece of mini genius
right.
on top of your life. And I love what you said, Rhonda, about turning on screen capture. So get this. What if You guys have seen radio shows that are being broadcast on TV before?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, yeah, this is the same thing we see all the time in sports, right? We see a sports show that's a radio show with a camera in the, basically it's the camera is sitting in the corner of the radio broadcast booth, and you're watching these guys with headphones on, and they're talking into microphones, and they're looking at each other and, you know, throwing popcorn and drinking coffee. So why not, right? So exactly as you said, Rhonda, what if, you know, I am recording, let's say I record a Blog Talk Radio show. At the same time that I'm recording a Blog Talk Radio show about these four or five different blog posts that I want to talk about today, I also turn on a screen capture software like, say, ScreenFlow or Camtasia, and record my screen as I go through and talk about these different questions and my answers for them. Let's further guess, you know, that we can get, well, let's say Blog Talk Radio has a way to transcribe my radio show for me.
Which they do.
Which
they do,
that they happen to be available. So that's good. So now I have what? I've got text-based content. I also have audio-based content. I also have a podcast. I have a Blog Talk Radio show. And I have video format. And although that may feel overwhelming to hear all at once, from an actual workflow perspective, it isn't, because you're just, it's much easier, because what you're really doing that's different is, number one, you're talking your answers instead of typing them. So that's easier. And number two, you're pressing two record buttons. That's it.
Yep.
You're done.
Yes, that's right.
Bless you.
Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't.
So you're talking about the money piece, and this ties directly back to the money piece, because if nobody knows that you have answers to their questions on your website, then they're not going to be able to find your website. They're not going to be able to discover your membership area, and they can't discover the products that you have for sale. So you have to promote or advertise your website, and this is a great way to do that by getting your content out in multiple channels this way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is frankly why I like the convenience of my instant video, because that gives me the convenience, the avenue for the audio and the video piece of all this. So I can just attach it to my content and away it goes. And it does a lot of the heavy lifting for me.
Yes.
Now, the one thing that I hear often with my students is that so often when they're out doing their blogging, et cetera, what they're putting into their blog post is really their core teachings. And when they first learn about the whole topic of curating content, they're very opposed to the idea of doing it, because they're like, well, that person's stuff is just not consistent with what I'm teaching, and how am I going to get my teaching into it if I'm using other people's stuff? How do you address that?
Well, in my case, if let's say, you know, I have a piece of content comes into my site, and there's a question about, let's say, grades, and then there's somebody else who responded to that question, and I see that response as well, and in my humble opinion, their response is very, very different than what I would suggest. Absolutely. I mean, I can very simply camp on to that whole conversation right on my site, show the question, show answer number one, and show my answer number two as a little different perspective to further inform and give, in my opinion, a nice range of responses to the poor, you know, high school student who asked the question in the first place. So I like that. It makes things a lot easier.
The other thing that I usually say to that is, your core teachings do not belong in your blog posts to begin with.
True that.
Your core teachings really belong in whatever your high-end product will be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Your blog posts really need to be about the things that your prospects know they want and the problems that they know they have. as opposed to the solutions that you can provide them. What's great about curating content is that it leaves you free to put your real core teachings where they belong in your high-end stuff. And
right.
using what they really are, talking about, asking about, et cetera, especially with the way that Don is doing it,
mm-hmm.
you're using what they're already asking for to reach them where they're at. Use your expertise to answer their questions point blank to really serve them so that you can now get them to go into your funnel, focus on the money, and move them up to the high end where your core teachings are part of.
You know, my little saying for this, which really helps me, is every answer creates a new question.
Yes.
You know, so you know, my core teaching is way over here, you know, in like step 7, 8, and 9. And the student is like at step 1. And so student asks me a question around step 1. I give them the answer to step 1, and that makes them ask a question about step 2. I direct them to a resource around step 2, and then before you know it, they're over here at 3, 4, 5 where my teachings are.
Yes.
The other thing is that in your answer that you give, excuse me, Molly, to the question, if you then, you know, kind of show them and direct them towards where their next question really should be, not where the ultimate question should be, but where their next question should be from wherever that question is, that is really going to help you move them and handhold them along and really show them that you're the expert worth following, because you're not 15 steps ahead of them. You're right keeping pace, and you're answering their question, but then causing them to think one step further, just that one next step further.
I really like this because I call it changing your customer's track.
Yep.
And you can change a customer's track really easily with a statement like, you know, so here's the question the customer asks. You give the answer, and then you say, but that answer misses, and that question misses this whole other issue to talk about. And the customer says, what other issue? And you say, well, there's this whole new problem to look at. And now you've changed their track so that,
right.
you know, oftentimes in my case, my customers are looking at smaller details instead of the bigger picture of admissions. And they're
mm-hmm.
missing, like, the main issue. And so I address first right where they're at, give them the answer to the small detail, and then I say, but, you know, that is still missing the bigger problem. And they go, what bigger problem? And then I say, well, the
right.
bigger problem is, you know, your grades are, you know, half a step below where they need to be in order to be qualified. What do you want to do about that?
Right.
And then off we go. Now I got them on the right track. So I can get them in, you know, closer to core content, and it makes them feel good because I've acknowledged them, you know, rather than what kind of I feel like doing, which is they call me up and they go, you know, should I send my application on Monday or Tuesday? And what I really want to say is, like, none of that matters because your grades are too low. I can't do that. I can't say that to them because it's just too, it violates
right.
their question too much, right? It's too painful.
Right. Yeah. Right. What people want more than anything is to be heard and acknowledged. One of the speakers at an event I was at was talking about this, where he said he has a tendency, which I know that I do too, to really provide loads and loads of content in a teaching. You know, we want people to have everything. It comes from a generosity. But then he found that his conversions were better and the people's results were better when he spent more time acknowledging the problem, helping them really feel understood for having the problem, and then just leading them to the first couple of steps and not data dumping or not giving too much. And that's what
you're talking
about.
I call this the science of self-expression, and I just made that up. But the science of self-expression, it really has a lot of validity because people, more than they want answers, they want to express themselves fully and completely.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can just stand as a proxy for them and just listen carefully to their full question, not just the question they're asking, but all of the psychology and emotionality behind the question, and then let them have that all hang out until they go, whew,
right.
that feels much better. You know, I finally got all that off my chest. Then I can give
right.
an answer, and, of course, the very next move is that the person always says is, you know, no one else ever understood me as well as you do.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
And all
exactly.
I have to do
that's
is just,
right.
like, be there and listen, express themselves. It's a miracle. It's a huge gift.
Yep.
It really is.
Yep.
And it will get that many more conversions for you in the end because of it.
Exactly.
Which is awesome.
And the
doesn't get any
the point being,
than that.
The conversions are there specifically to be in support of my customer.
Yes.
I mean, I think one of the nicest things that I can do for a customer is to say, you know, I think this will help you get this, whether it's my product or somebody else's. And I think another really nice thing I can do for my customer is say, don't buy this because it will not serve you, whether it's my product or somebody else's. People really, they value that kind of experiential knowledge, that expertise. They really want that. So providing that to them is a huge gift, and it's precisely why I do what I do online, is so that I can serve my audience in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is there anything else that our listeners really need to know about if they're interested in curating content? What other kinds of content can they curate?
Well, let's see, forums, Yahoo Answers, anything, oh, news, anything with an RSS feed, right? So the current events and news, I would love to, I don't do this yet, but it's something that I want to do, which is to take, like, a Google alert and plug that into my site as an RSS feed and just start looking at what's going on in the news right now. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about my niche. It doesn't necessarily have to be about college admissions or tennis or whatever your niche is. But it can just be about the current, what's going on current and current events. Because then I can take those current events, but I can now tie them to my topic. And so, you know, how does what's going on in the economy relate to getting into college? And that, I think, can be really valuable because, again, in my humble opinion, my customers are looking for those kinds of answers.
Yes.
So I like current events a lot for that. And I think that, for better or for ill, we as a society, we tend to get very enamored with current events, especially around our celebrities. So celebrity-based news that you can then tie out to whatever your niche is, I think could get a lot of really, really interesting traffic, especially in my niche where I'm working with, 18 to 30-year-olds, and they live their days around this kind of content.
And how would you find that celebrity news?
What I would do is I would look first at a Google alert. I'd pick like two or three celebrities that, I thought would represent what I am interested in. I would probably set up Google alerts around them and bring those Google alerts into my site via an RSS feed. After I did that, I would look at some of the bigger news sites, like maybe a CNN or a USA Today. They probably have RSS feeds themselves. And I would bring those RSS feeds in and filter them for these topics.
And even if you can find some publication in your niche that's considered an authority, if you're in a health and wellness niche, any medical kind of publication, like Journal of Neuroscience or JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association, et cetera. You can find any authority that is already publishing content that you can curate. That's another really great way of finding content. And all the other places that Don mentioned, just using Google Alerts, Google will find you all the content you could ever want to curate. Just specific in putting together the alert.
You know, and it really is the reason why curation exists, because Google knows that there is more content being produced than Google alone can curate. A search engine is basically a very large, very generalized content curation machine, trying to deliver answers that are relevant to your question as fast as possible. It can't do that by itself. You know, no matter how big Google is, it can't do that by itself. It needs help. So it needs specialists in every one of the niches that exist, and those specialists need to help distill down the content that's out there, remove the weeds, and get people a nice perspective so so that they can really digest this information, consume it, and move on with their lives.
Uh-huh.
One reminder I would love to give people is just simply to make sure, no matter what you're using, be it current events or celebs, make sure it's going to attract your audience, not just attract traffic because it's about a celebrity, right? Make sure it's the kind of celebrity that your audience would pay attention to, because otherwise you're going to get a lot of bounce traffic, which you do not want.
Right.
No, you really don't.
So I just wanted to mention that.
Important thing to remember. Thanks for that, Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else that they need to be aware of, Don?
I think the last piece of all this to remember is not to let the okay, this is new, I haven't done this before, this is a little intimidating, not to let that be your story.
Right.
But instead, simply, step one, install the auto-blogging software on your site, and step two, set up one RSS feed, and then step three, stop, celebrate, and just watch what happens. All of the blog posts that are coming into your site now from the feed, they're all going to be in draft mode. You can just hit delete and delete them all. It's really easy. But allow that to happen. Just allow that content to come in. So what you'll discover very, very quickly is your content that's coming into your site will have themes within it. And those themes will really inform you as to where your audience really is at in terms of what they're getting from all their sources in terms of content.
Yeah.
So you can be there as well and sort of fulfill that. It also gives you a list of keywords in the form of tags. And those tags are just gold mines for content that's super attractive to your customers.
Absolutely. Yeah, really important piece to remember, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the mindset piece that, you know, we all talk about, but it still gets in the way because of the way we talk about it. We talk about mindset as sort of a separate element, and it's not. It's integrated into everything. You know, it's integrated into every step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is the single most important piece of your business, at least in terms of the results you're getting.
Yeah, I mean, I can say, installing this autoblog plugin is hard, and then I'll be correct about that. Or I can say, installing this autoblog plugin will be easy, and I'll be correct then too. Both of those statements are my interpretations of what's about to happen.
Exactly. Well, Don, we're running out of time here, so thank you so much for being here and sharing all of this great stuff about content curation with our listeners. And let's remind them just one more time about where they can get that software to help them curate content on their site.
Sure. They can go to gogetthisnow.com/curation. gogetthisnow.com/curation. And if anybody does buy that software off of that affiliate link, just email me at your receipt, and I will send you the template that I use within the software so that you can get a jump start on the template piece as well. And I'll send that to you.
That is kick butt, Don. That really is the most important part, is making it look right. So thank you so much for that.
Great.
What a great bonus.
And you can
just
email me at dono@donosborne.com. dono@donosborne.com.
And is it okay if I put both the link and the email address in the show notes?
Yes.
Great. I will get that added right now.
Okay, great.
And if they would like to see an example of the content you're curating, can we tell them where they can find that?
Not yet, because I'm still in the development piece on the publishing, but that content will be available, let's say it's currently late October. If they start looking maybe early November at www.inquarta.com, www.inquarta.com, they'll start to see lots of examples.
Spell that, please.
I-N-Q.
Oh, sure.
UARTA.com, Inquarta.com. And tell you what, Don, when it's available, how about I go in and do an update in the show notes for today? So bookmark today's show, and I will go back in and put an update in when it is ready for you guys to see.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Well,
great
thank
show,
you so much for arranging this, Rhonda, and thanks for being here, Don. And Rhonda and I are working on getting Harlan Kilstein on the show so we can cover more stuff about blog and content curation. Thanks again, and we will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Have a safe trip home, Rhonda.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.